I want to preface this morning's sermon by telling you this is probably going to be the strangest sermon you've ever heard me preach. And the reason that is so is because I'm preaching on the subject of mystery. And talking about mystery isn't easy. So I have to rely on metaphors that can speak to us so that we can understand mystery. If you Google up the definition of the word mystery, you will find that mystery is something that cannot be explained or understood. That's what it says. But as people of faith, that is not so. People of faith believe that mystery cannot be explained. But because there is wonder, there is a truth to it that can be understood. So we may not be able to explain it, but there's a wonder to mystery that we can embrace. There's a wonder to mystery that we can understand. Some couple of worldly examples of what that means, what I'm referring to. You hear about somebody going to have a baby, and a few months later, a baby is born, right? And you hold that baby in your arms. And what a mystery there is. We may not be able to explain it, but you can embrace it. There's a truth about that that we can appreciate. How about a time when you're thinking about somebody? I mean, you've been thinking about someone in particular, and your mind goes to that person. You've been thinking about them for days, and then all of a sudden, they give you a call. They give you a call, and it was them that initiated that call. You've been thinking about them. You've been thinking about them. They've been on your heart. They've been on your mind. And then they reach out to you to say hello, or they shoot you an email or a text. Reach out to you in some way. There's a lot of examples of mystery in the Bible. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am also. Jesus isn't saying that because there's one person that God isn't, that Jesus isn't there, but what Jesus is trying to paint for people, the young disciples and followers, that he has is that there is community with God. And so it doesn't matter whether there is two or three or more. Wherever you are, I am there also. That's what Jesus is saying. And there's a mystery to the presence of God in our lives. John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Okay, well, we see, you know, Jesus praying to God, and there's a relationship there. There's when in the Transfiguration story, God speaks and it blesses Jesus at his baptism. The Holy Spirit comes and descends upon Jesus, and so, you know, I and the Father are one. Well, that's a mystery in itself. John 17, 21, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So as God is, as Jesus is, and we are in Jesus, we are all again one. So we're invited to interact in that conversation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then there's us, right? We are the fourth person in relationship with that Trinity. What about the Eucharist? Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins." So this is a mystery in itself. When we eat this bread and drink of the cup, it becomes, we experience the presence of Christ in our midst. The Catholic Church very early had a crisis because they believe in transfiguration, that the bread and the cup are actually transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. So the reason children do not take communion like they do in our church is because that when children in the early Catholic Church were given bread and wine, they dropped the crumbs and they spilled the juice. And what do you do with the body and blood of Jesus on the carpet, right? This became an actual crisis in the early church. So they go through what? Confirmation, right? And first catechism. They go through catechism and they go through their first communion, right? They go through these experiences. So they know what to do. They know to be very careful, and because they believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe in transubstantiation. We believe that these are reminders of the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's why we give communion to children. That's why the majority of denominations give communion to children. This morning's scripture passage of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24, we have a very mysterious scripture reading. It just, if you know anything about the Bible, this one can just go whew, right past you. Let me read it for you. "You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, a darkness and a gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words may the hearers beg that not another word may be spoken." And what's going on is that Paul is referring to what happened on Mount Sinai when God spoke to the ancient Israelites on Mount Sinai. And the response to the Israelites, to God speaking on Mount Sinai, was worship, right? So in worship, our response to the mystery of God's presence in our lives that we cannot explain, but that we can embrace that truth of God's love for us, we offer prayers and hymns. And our hymns are also prayers. We read the scriptures. We hear word of the Lord spoken, right? We have children, young disciples time, and we have offering, and we have fellowship, right? We embrace the mystery of the divine through worship. And we also embrace the mystery of the divine through studying scriptures. I highly encourage studying the scriptures, because the mystery of which we proclaim and believe in begins to unfold. The truth of the knowledge of the love of God begins to unfold the more we study scriptures. Another way that the mystery unfolds in our life is when we serve others. When we go out into the world and love one another and help each other and be a part of other people's lives and their suffering and the intersections of life where we have to stop or where the other people have to stop, you know, that's the time that we engage with them and begin to embrace the mystery of God that is in our life. How the pieces of the puzzle of the kingdom of God are put together. So, Paul is talking to the early church, the Hebrews, about the mystery of God. Are you thoroughly confused by now? It's a mystery. Something I can't explain. But it's the truth of the presence of God in our life that we can embrace. The wonderment of the presence of God in community. The Trinity. John 14:25-26. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. The Trinity. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but it's a concept that we understand. The Trinity is a mystery. We can't explain it, but it's something that we embrace. The Trinity is not a chain of command. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. It's not a chain of command. It's not like the Three Musketeers that they all get along together and they go and they conquer, and you know, it's nothing like that. It's a mystery that we cannot explain, but we embrace. Now, this is where it gets kind of weird. There's a word that the early church fathers and mothers, a Greek word that the early church fathers and mothers used to help understand the Trinity. And the Greek word is perichoresis. P-E-R-I-C-H-O-E-S-I-S. P-E-R-I-C-H-O-R-E-S-I-S. Perichoresis is a perfect interpretation. It's like a perfect love. It's like an indwelling of community and people. Perichoresis is a way that the early church fathers and mothers describe how we can be in relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Perichoresis was also a word that was used to describe dancing. Dancing. Now, I've served quite a few churches, and everybody likes to dance in those communities, but the one who really knows how to dance well are the folks here in Mason, Texas, because I've seen you dance. I've been to a few activities where there's been dancing, and y'all dance pretty good. Helotes folks know how to dance pretty well. Flores Country Store, those folks know how to dance. I remember dancing with my grandmother, my grandparents' anniversary. You know, we're not Baptists. We dance, right? Let's put this out there. We dance. We dance. And I remember at a very young age dancing polkas. You know, the Mexican people, the Hispanic people, and the German people, and the Czechs and the Poles dance polkas. And the reason for that, why these two geographical places have polka music, is because when Maximilian made himself conqueror and emperor of Mexico, he brought with him German mercenaries who could play the guitar and dance polkas, right? So when they had enough of Maximilian and they dispatched him, that's the kind word that I'm going to use, and they dispatched him, all of those German mercenaries fell in love with the local girls and they stayed. And that's why there are polkas all along the border and in Germany. Polka music. Saw a young girl in Fredericksburg, Texas at the HEB this week, and she had a t-shirt in the back that said, Fredericksburg, a small town with a serious polka problem, right? Isn't that good? In the late 70s, I was in college, and I needed a job, and that June, my friends and I were hired to to bale hay, all, and we baled all the hay, the square bales of hay in Fion County. I kid you not. And we baled and baled hay for that whole month. And we got our money, and then I needed to work a couple of more months. Had to move back home with my parents, and nobody was hiring, right? And I didn't want to work washing dishes. I would have done that, but you know, I didn't want to do that. So there on the classified ads was an ad for a bouncer at a discotheque, as in John Travolta, right? And so I applied to that, and I got the job as a bouncer at a discotheque. Oh, my gosh. And so I'm not a very dancer. The girls want to dance, and my boss said, Peter, you have to go dance now. And I'm glad a lot of those girls said no, right? It's like the dance now. Whew, I'm so glad, you know. And it's good to have a dancing partner, right? It's good to have a dancing partner. I tell you, this is getting kind of weird. It's good to have a dancing partner. There's some people, there's some dancing partners that are like an old Cadillac with power steering, you know. They just glide, you know. And then there's some dancing partners that kind of like a flat, you know, just kind of, you know, you're stepping on toes, and it's just not working out very well, right? But parachuresis with the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that God is in the lead, and sometimes we follow. Other times we are in the lead, and God, the Holy Trinity, follows. Folks, I want to invite you to embrace the concept of dancing with God. There are times in our lives when we need God's commandments to guide us along the path of righteousness. There's other times when we don't know exactly what to do next. And so we have to do what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do in this situation? There's sometimes when we need inspiration. There's sometimes when we need creativity. There's sometimes that we need spontaneity because we're stuck in our life, we're stuck in our faith, and we need God to inspire us. And that's when we call upon the Holy Spirit to lead us in a new direction so that we can follow God. Dancing with God is so important. That's a personal relationship that we have with the triune, that we have with the Trinity. It's valuable. It gets us out of our ways of thinking. It gets us out of our stuckness and invites us to be able to follow the Lord our God through Jesus Christ our Savior, who modeled life perfectly for us. And I'm going to close with an example that's got nothing to do with dancing. Whew. I have a friend who's a Jehovah's Witness. Went to college with him. Good friend. And Jehovah's Witness, they don't celebrate birthdays and holidays, right? Right? So on birthdays, he wouldn't celebrate a person's birthday. I remember one day was my birthday, and he celebrated my birthday the next day. He and his family didn't celebrate Thanksgiving on that Thursday, but they celebrated on Friday, right? They didn't celebrate it on Christmas. They celebrated on the 26th. As a way of maintaining and establishing relationship. I'm not able to fully understand why or who or what or when. Sometimes we get like those Pharisees in the Gospel of Luke that was read this morning, that Fran read this morning, where Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And the religious authorities were so offended that Jesus healed with the Sabbath. And Jesus said, here is a daughter of Abraham that's been paralyzed for 18 years. This is all about relationship that we're encouraged to be about. Not about denominations. Not even about nations. Because we have brothers and sisters of the faith in other lands that speak other languages. But we are united by the power of God. So today, I want to challenge all of us to dance with God. Lean on God's word. Trust in Jesus' teachings. And invite the Holy Spirit of God to inspire you to dance. 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 In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.